In other news, the Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak woman early this morning. At 6:01 a.m., officers arrested 26-year-old Tabitha Lynn Madsen of Red Oak for disorderly conduct at 2301 Eastern Avenue in Red Oak. She was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 cash bond. Two former members of the Omaha Tribe of Nebraska's governing council have been sentenced to probation for misusing federal money. The Sioux City Journal reports that 48-year-old Tilly Aldrich and 47-year-old Jessica Webster were each sentenced on Friday in Omaha's federal court to 5 years of probation and ordered to pay restitution. Both pled guilty in July. Webster must repay $89,000 and Aldrich must repay $13,404. The two are part of a group of nine former and current council members charged with giving themselves bonuses out of $388,972 in federal money. Officials say the bonuses were paid from the Indian Health Service funds meant to provide health care to members of the Omaha Tribe of Nebraska who reside on the Omaha Reservation in Macy in northeastern Nebraska and in western Iowa. Authorities in north central Iowa say a woman's body has been pulled from inside a submerged car. Television station KCCI reports that Webster County Sheriff's deputies were sent to a pond east of Moreland after a caller reported that a car ran off Highway 20 and into the pond Friday morning. The sheriff's office's deputies and a firefighter arrived within 3 minutes and found the car completely submerged. The arriving officers did not immediately find anyone in the car. The woman's body was found when the car was pulled from the water. An autopsy has been ordered. The woman's name has not been released as of midday on Saturday. The amount of water being released into the lower Missouri River will be temporarily reduced because of recent heavy rains in southeastern South Dakota and northwestern Iowa. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says it is reducing the amount of water being released from the Fort Randall and Gavin's Point dams to allow area rivers to return to normal levels. The Corps says the releases from Gavin's Point Dam will be reduced until the Missouri River crest near Sioux City, which is expected in the next several days. The releases will be restored to near 60,000 cubic feet per second after the river level recedes. The Iowa Worker Safety Agency has proposed fining the Iowa Human Services Department, saying the department's School for Delinquent Juveniles isn't protecting its employees. The Des Moines Register reports that the school residents assaulted staffers at the Iowa State Training School for Boys in Eldora during at least three incidents this last spring. The Iowa Occupational Safety and Health Administration says in its August 28th report that the staffers were unnecessarily exposed to violent attacks. In one, the worker had numerous teeth smashed out and suffered broken bones in his face. The agency proposes more than $23,000 in fines for the department. The school is home to about 100 boys who have been convicted in juvenile court. Human Services Department spokesman Matt Hyland says he can't comment because the two agencies are negotiating a settlement. The Iowa Economic Development Authority Board on Friday approved millions of dollars in tax benefits and direct financial help to three companies planning expansion projects in the state. IEDA spokesperson Jackie Mattson says the biggest project involves a Hormel Foods plant in Nevada.
They're nearly doubling the size of their square footage there with a 200,000 square foot addition onto their facility in Nevada.
The project, awarded $10.5 million in state tax incentives, is expected to create 210 jobs. The plant in Nevada, which manufactures fully cooked meat products, already has over 300 employees. The expansion project carries a $150 million price tag and is slated for completion in 2021. The IEDA board awarded $176,000 in direct financial assistance, as well as tax benefits to MHEB in Story City.
They're planning an expansion that is going to have a significant impact with an additional 64 jobs, which is pretty significant considering that they have just over 100 jobs at their location currently.
MHEB was founded in 1938 and manufactures aluminum truck bodies and livestock trailers. The board also awarded $2.1 million in tax benefits to 3M Company for renovations to their facility in Ames.
3M is looking to invest $30 million in a capital improvement project to make better use of some space that they have, bring in some new machinery and equipment, and the result is going to be 16 high-quality jobs incented at a qualifying wage of $26.11 an hour.
Four startup projects, two planned in Ames and two more planned in Ottumwa and Des Moines, were also awarded loans by the IEDA board. And a liberal-leaning think tank in Iowa City has released a report suggesting Iowans who suffer serious shoulder injuries on the job will receive far less in workers' compensation benefits today than they would have a couple of years ago. Matthew Gloston of the University of Iowa Labor Center helped draft the Iowa Public Policy Project report.
Shoulders turn out to be a fairly common body part to be injured, and particularly in people who work in repetitive motion jobs.
In 2017, the Republican-led Iowa legislature changed the way workers' comp payouts are calculated. Glasson concludes that because of that change, a worker will be paid on average about $72,000 less in workers' comp benefits for a serious shoulder injury. Under the old system, a doctor evaluated the worker's physical impairment, then factors like the person's age, work experience, and education were considered.
For the purpose of trying to project the impact of the physical injury on the person's ability to earn a living. And so what the legislature did was say, from now on, we're not going to consider any of those factors. We're just going to look at the physical impairment to the person's shoulder.
A University of Iowa history professor and a research assistant in the University of Iowa Labor Center also worked on the project. It found most workers who seek compensation for a job-related shoulder injury are men over the age of 50 who have not attended college. And new federal maps that show fewer buildings in Dubuque are at risk of flooding. The Dubuque Telegraph Herald reports the Federal Emergency Management Agency recently updated flood insurance maps for the area that were last changed in 2011. The new maps removed more than 40 buildings from the area where flood insurance is required. The current flood insurance rate maps list 236 structures in the 100-year floodplain. Assistant City Planner Wally Wernemont says the new maps are based on a more accurate information. They will be used to help guide development plans in the area. That's a look at some of the latest in local news. We'll check your funeral announcements next. News time, 7:15.
Wow. How many medications do you take?
Huh. You mean now, or at noon, or bedtime? Oh, wait. I forgot about the supper time pill.
Sorry I asked, but how do you keep track of which one to take and when?
I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder if I do.
Have you heard of RexPax? A new service from Rex Pharmacy. They take all your meds, sort them into doses for each day, package them in strips of little single-dose packets. You just tear off the packet for that time of day, and you know you're taking the right meds. At the right time, on the right day, every day. It's really pretty cool and simple.
But I don't take everything every time.
That's the beauty of it. Each packet only contains the meds for a particular dose time each day. You just open it and take what's inside. I really think you should check into it.
This is Carla from Rex Pharmacy. If the process of keeping track and taking your medications is frustrating you, let us show you how RexPax will simplify the process. All you have to do is bring in your prescriptions and we'll take care of it at no additional charge. RexPax at Rex Pharmacy in downtown Atlantic.
In your funeral announcements, Elaine D. Vulcans, age 89, of Trainer, died Thursday. Funeral services for Elaine D. Vulcans will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Zion Congregational Church in Trainer. Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Funeral Home, Bayless Park Chapel, has the arrangements. Mervyn Christensen, age 78, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Mervyn Christensen will be held today at 2 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Theda Fleece, age 91, of Harlan, died Friday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Mass of Christian burial for Theda Fleece will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Irma Quack, age 90, of Fontenelle, died Thursday in Johnston. Funeral services for Irma Quack will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Larry Allen Mundorf, age 75, of Griswold, died Friday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Larry Mundorf will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Paul Hines, age 89, of Dexter, died Thursday at Adele Acres. A mass of Christian burial for Paul Hines will be held on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. And Arliss Mae Butler, age 85, of Guthrie Center, died September 12th at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Arliss Mae Butler will be held on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. News brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic. The prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.